Thank you so much for joining us. 12 minutes past 11 o'clock. I came across a Twitter thread during the course of this week. It was people around the world posting images of their bad roads, from the UK to the US, Australia, Pakistan, Malaysia, roads that are in a poor condition. And we often measure our level of middle class social service delivery in South Africa based on the condition of our urban roads. And maintaining roads is a major line item, not only here in South Africa, but around the world. Andrew Lotz is a specialist consultant, also a specialist in civil engineering. He's been paving roads and fixing roads for the last 32 years. Andrew Lotz, how are you doing this morning? When we think of roads, and already people saying it's quite simple, it's to fix a road. Lester, you just have to have the available materials, and then you can fix it yourself. You can fill it with some dagger, some concrete, and you can go with a heavy roller, and then all of a sudden you have your road fixed, finish and clear, as easy, as good as new. But it's not as simple as that, is it?
No, look, I mean, because a road doesn't just fail because it fails. It fails because of underlying built-up conditions, and typically it's water. And so to fix a road from water means that you have to try and understand how the water got there in the first place. And so when you just plug a hole in the road, the hole is still sitting there in the water and the moisture that it was, and under the same loading.
What is the average lifespan of a road? I have my favorite road in South Africa. It's the N12 between Three Sisters and to about Victoria West. The last time I was on that road about 2 years ago, it was very, very new. It drove like a dream. That's my favorite place to ride in the country. But how often or how long does a newly surfaced road last?
Well, I mean, a road can be built for a very short time, 3, 4, 5 years. It can be built for a medium term, 10, 15 years. And it can be built for a long term, 30, 40 years. It depends on the people, the market requiring it, the available money, and the type of materials used, and of course the whether it needs to last that long. It should, but often it doesn't. Mm. Your road there in Victoria West, where is that? Somewhere near Mexico?
Victoria West in the Northern Cape, one of my favorite parts of the world. And up to a few years ago when I was still able to travel interprovincially, it drove like a dream. It had sufficient grip. The landscape there is quite flat, not many dips and peaks, and it was just absolutely a pleasure. You're feeling quite connected. You feel like your car's not going to go anywhere besides besides this road.
Well, I suppose low traffic, fairly dry environment, it's ideal for a road that it'll make it last long. Yeah. Mm.
Why is it? And is it purely an administrative issue, an administration connected with corruption and inept actual work that many roads in South Africa, become susceptible to potholes. And I think of my experiences in Johannesburg. You know, they could work for 6 months on a new road to repair it, and there's a pothole in the space of a few months. Is it also got to do with the localized geography of that particular area, or even the conditions of the ground beneath our feet?
Look, I believe that the roads in South Africa are pretty good. Mm. And I think because of the size of our network, the broad distances and the communities, how far they are apart, I think considering that and our economy, our roads are pretty damn good compared to many other countries. But we are living in an area where there is a moisture issue, I suppose. Mm-hmm. We do have a fair amount of water, even though we are kind of like a semi-dry country, we still experience a fair amount of water, and water is our biggest killer when it comes to roads. And so our drainage systems often are old, and the water doesn't get away from our roads. And we have a lot of traffic, and that's our biggest killer on our urban roads typically is water issue, water ponding, and materials don't like water. They soften, they get weak with water, and they strip. And once you have a water issue, unless you take the water away or prevent the water from getting in, you don't solve the problem that easily. And to solve the water problems requires a lot more than just the road pavement. It requires drainage systems and maintenance. So it's quite a broad field.
Because when we think about like road building and road maintenance, we think that the road that we build in Philippi could be the same road that we build in Malmesbury, is the same road that we could build in Mpumalanga. The geomorphology of the actual area of where you're building, that also has to come into consideration, particularly if we look at the underground water flows and things like that. That all falls part of what civil engineers look for.
Yes, yeah, you know, to do a new road or even a repaired road, you have to first assess the areas in. And that's the biggest start is understanding where your road is going to sit. What are the materials? What's the moisture like? What's the trafficking? And what's the money available? Because roads aren't all the same. I mean, you can get a road built from new for say 400 rand a square meter, and that's a fairly cheap road. And you can go up to 2,000 rand plus a square meter for a very expensive road. Wow. And so they have a broad price range based on the layers you use, based on the supporting systems, i.e. the drainage that you use, how it's all connected up. So a simple road can be a couple of $100 a square meter, but our high-tech roads are 2,000 rand a meter per square meter. And even more.
021-446-0567. We're speaking to Andre Lartz. We're talking about what is seemingly a very mundane topic, roads, and why, you know, often we sit in conversations and complaints on this radio station, people talking about the sorry state of our roads. I came across a Twitter thread during the week, and it was basically people from around the world venting their frustrations and showing pictures of the roads in the areas in which they live. South Africa is not the only country that has, in many cases, some putrid roads. But we're taking your calls. Dave and Paul, good morning. How are you?
Well, thank you. I also look around and I see people burning tires and burning objects on the road, and that is an absolute guarantee to destroy the road completely because it burns up the waterproofing that's on top of the road. But I don't see anybody really taking it seriously in such a way, and that's millions of rand. One burnt tire in every area, that's the next pothole. And I just think we need to do something about that very urgently.
Thanks so much, Dave. That's something I haven't thought about, the effects of burning tires on roads. That also then affects the integrity of that road surface. Andrew?
Yes, well, look, Peter, as I said before, the biggest problem is water. Another problem is spillage, spillage of fuel, spillage of diesel. So you'll find that those tend to be the bigger issues with regard to destroying the surfacing of the roads, which are the protection from the above water, called the rain. But most roads fail because of the water coming from below, typically, or the water coming from the surface that infiltrates and gets below and softens the materials. So your fire tends to soften the surfacing layer, but it doesn't damage the bottom layers too much. And so if there's a quick repair done after a fire, like a tire burning, the road can still survive. It's when there's water that gets in. So if you leave that burnt road for too long, now the water gets into the damaged surface, sits in the lay works, softens them, and now you'll have a problem.
A question here asks, to your civil engineer, Lester, can you tar a road at night, or must the tar be set to a certain temperature to get hard? It's more than just about the tar in terms of making a road, eh, Andrew? It's the subgrade, the sub-base, the base.
Tar? What's tar? No, tar's long, long, long since gone. We use asphalt, which is bitumen, and concrete. And so, look, we can place these asphalt materials and concrete materials during the day, during night. We've often placed asphalt at night. It's common practice. It does tend to be a bit more sensitive, but as long as you aren't placing it in wet weather, it doesn't be raining. Mm. You can place it in the cold. You can have certain additives to the asphalt, to the bitumen, which allow it to be paved for longer, keeps its warmth for longer. So no, nighttime, daytime, asphalt and concrete can be paved.
Mm. Another question, yeah. Hi, Lester, and thanks for the show. Are there any simple and available materials that an average person could use to fill potholes themselves? It might be useful to know, although I must say I have personally found the municipality to be good in at least our area. You have plenty of people around the country to say, you know what, we are not going to wait. We as an organization, as a community, we're going to fix our own potholes. And they do some basic construction work there. And it's obviously a very, very noble gesture of communities doing it for themselves. But is that advisable, Andrew?
Man, look, that's a very short-term solution. And people who tend to plug potholes with gravels and even old asphalt, which they've found milled up, and they've livened it up with a bit of oil or something and they compacted. Those are very short term. They last a couple of days. Mm. And if it's wet and raining, they'll last even less than a day. So really, you have to have an approach where you first assess the problem as to why the pothole formed in the first place. It may be because there's just a general moisture problem, and then, of course, you have to first solve the moisture, else any potholing will be a very short-term solution. It's a noble idea, but it only tends to work when you have a coordinated approach to repairing a pothole. Mm. You have to look at the root cause, and again, you know, it's a bit boring, but it starts with water.
Mm. What's the difference between tar and asphalt, this person's asking?
Well, tar is a product of the flood, and it comes from the chemical decay of certain animals, and they were found naturally occurring pits around the world. And it was called tar. This strong-smelling, bituminous-type material. Famous one is Trinidad. The tar pits, the extinct tar pits of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Dead Sea. But these days, we drill into the earth to find oil. And oil is a similar of origin, also the decay of organics. And this oil is then distilled to form bitumen. It's a product of oil distillation. And bitumen is a cleaner, more known, more able to be used in engineering material, which is now used and combined with stone to form asphalt. So that's bitumen. It's a fabricated product from oil. Tar is a naturally occurring, now essentially extinct material. Similar compounds, you know, decayed organics, but oil gives us a cleaner product, yeah. Mm.
Just in this environment of using new materials and recycled materials, are recyclable materials being used more in the construction of roadworks, ground up bits of rubber, you know, old tires being used? What does the technology lead us to?
Well, look, I mean, most certainly we're speaking now of recycling, upcycling, downcycling, where you take a existing material and you either improve it to be a better layer, or you deprove it to be useful in a lower layer. Mm. And typically that's just reusing existing materials such as crushed concrete, gravels, crushed stones, milled up asphalt. Then of course you have products that you add, which is all types of additives to bitumens typically, polymers, elastomers, and I mean these polymers or elastomers can be old rubber, old plastics. We do have fairly well engineering controls as to how to use these and how to specify them and what performance they give. So yeah, no, it's a big thing, recycling. Mm.
Many people asking about what is the impact, particularly here in Cape Town, particularly where there are big container ports, where there are lots of trucks on the road. Think of the N7, parts of the N1. When planning roads, and we also have to plan about what type of vehicles are actually going to be using them.
Yeah, no, look, I mean, an axle isn't just an axle. You have a car axle, which is a couple of hundred kilograms, which is essentially damage-less. It does no damage at all to road. It's the water that damages. But a truck could have an axle load of 5 tons, 8 tons, even overloaded, 10, 12, 15 tons plus. Those are what damage the actual roads, is the heavy axles. And so at container ports and these sort of long-haul routes, you have these trucks that are heavily loaded with heavy containers, and those axles are the ones that actually cause these sort of damage. And basically all roads are designed on that principle, where you link all design traffic to those damaging loads, and we call it an E80.
Mm. And just finally, what's your favorite road to drive on?
The road that comes to my house. Well, look, I've traveled on many roads, and one I've always liked to drive on is the N2, the garden route. Mm. You know, our company, HHO, has been involved in building the garden route since I was born, you know, in the 60s, 70s. I think HHO was building roads on the garden route. So I love the garden route roads, you know, the roads that link Cape Town to East London, to Durban, Eisner, the N2 roads, yeah.
So if as a civil engineer, do you critique roads by other engineers? And then you think, the asphalt on here is a bit loose, or whatever whatever industry-specific terms you use?
We call it roads built by others. But, you know, no, look, I mean, I think in the road industry, in the field of materials and pavements, it's one of the closest-knit communities of engineering. You'll find that the pavement engineers have had forums and workshops and seminars and groups very close-knit for decades now. Probably the closest-knit engineering group I've ever encountered. You know, if you're talking about, you know, urban types, buildings, whatever. Roads and especially road materials, pavement design is one of the close-knit engineering communities.
Andrew Lartz, specialist consultant, civil engineer. Who'd have thought that roads would be so interesting?